You're listening to Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
Let's get ready, Trumbo! And here he is, the head cheese meister. It's Spud Goodman.
I'm Spud Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Greetings and also a very warm hola to our listeners in Mexico. Welcome to Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show. So far, you know, we're still able to crank out these little podcast episodes. You know, like no one from the Trump world has, you know, like told us that we're going to be shipped to El Salvador or Guantanamo Bay if we don't stop saying mean things about the emperor with no clothes on. So let's get this thing started before something happens. So, yeah, we'll now conduct a full and complete autopsy of the hackers episode, specifically the Russian hackers, who always seem to be around, you know, getting into other people's business, just basically causing problems. I've always been paranoid about those people, or should I say bots, for Mother Russia.
They are not our friend.
So on this episode, I kind of freaked out a bit worrying about them, you know, sabotaging my career as at that time I was willing to blame anyone, you know, for how bad things were going job wise. Anyway, on this episode, we had on Emmy award winning actress and comedian Jane Lynch from Glee, Only Murders in the Building. And of course, all the great Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, and For Your Consideration. Also with us on the Hackers episode was actor John C. McGinley from, of course, you know, the TV show Scrubs and a ton of other movies and TV shows. And lastly, also, we had actor-musician Ross Lynch from, the film he was promoting at that time was My Friend Dahmer. It was a biopic of serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, before he went over to the dark side as an actor, Ross was also the star in the Disney series Austin and Ally. You know, I thought I'd mention that. So, yeah. And so our musical guest on this episode was Hellbelly. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's a damn strong episode. So why don't I now bring on our podcast designated laugh for my Aunt Dorothy. Give us an above average chuckle, if you would.
Here you go.
All righty then. I'm now supposed to acknowledge our temporary permanent co-host, Gerald Holcomb. You can say something, but make it meaningful and even possibly life-changing, if you would.
Well, life-changing?
Yeah.
Well, okay. You know, I've been known to deliver a really uplifting message to friends and family at times, so let me think about what to say here. You know, I think that people...
Hey, can I ask what's up with that, like, really loud red V-neck sweater you have on? Is that a Make America Great Again V-neck sweater? I have to say, it's kind of hideous, and dare I say, it displays way too much of your chest hair.
This sweater?
Yeah. Has?
Well, you know what? My wife gave me this at Christmas, and no, it's not a MAGA sweater. I haven't worn it to work before. Do you like it?
No. Just like I just said, it's kind of hideous, and it displays way too much of your chest hair. And for the record, check the label. As we both know, it was made in China, like all of Trump's cheap MAGA crap he sells.
This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it.
Spud, I will have you know this sweater cost a pretty penny. Rachel accidentally left the price tag on when I opened the present. And also, let me say, she feels my chest hair is very manly.
Manly? And what the hell does a pretty penny even mean? Pennies aren't pretty. They look kind of gross. That might be the only thing I agree with Trump on, you know, is his executive order to do away with pennies.
That is great to hear that you're finally opening up your mind and heart to the greatest president in American history, Donald J. Trump.
The biggest asshole and worst president in American history. Just zip it and let me bring on our intern, Chance. People supposedly want to hear what he has to say. So go ahead, Chance, say something.
Anything in particular you want me to comment on? I have so many things swirling around in my mind right now that I'm sure people want to hear. How about my feelings on the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef?
Yeah, I know you're supposed to be some kind of rapper these days.
I'm mother effing Chance. Yeah.
But I don't think people care about your take on their ongoing feud.
Oh, they do. But I think I'll keep that for my appearance on one of the other popular podcasts that keep bugging me to come on. My rap album is really creating some buzz.
Oh, it's true. I'm handling his personal appearance requests right now, and until he brings on a real manager. And I can say he's really in demand.
In the past, I have stated to everyone that I have the skills needed to be a successful manager. Spud, you continually rejected my offer to take you on, and sadly, that ship has sailed as far as you having a career to manage. But, Chance, keep me in mind for that position. I think I could take you to the next level.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yes, Gerald, Chance will be signing with an established talent agent and manager.
Yeah, and you already have two jobs. Now here and at that carpet store.
South Seattle Carpet and Linoleum.
I think you're already stretched too thin attention-wise. At times lately, it seems like you're kind of just phoning in your gig here at the podcast. Are you getting enough sleep?
Spud, I give 110% in anything I'm involved in, so I reject your accusation. I distinctly remember making that same declaration on the episode that we're now featuring.
Okay, it's just my opinion. But as the host, my opinion matters more than yours as a co-host. Temporary co-host.
Yeah, well, temporary permanent co-host.
Let's get back to the Hackers episode. And a good place to do that is our initial in-studio conversation about my concern that, Russian intelligence officials might have been tampering with my social media accounts and, with the direct line of communication with my listeners.
Russia, if you're listening.
People need to understand this was not that long after Trump somehow won the 2016 election with some help from a certain dude in a country that has been our enemy for many years. At least until Trump, at least until Trump entered the White House then and now. His first name is Vladimir. You might know of him. And he's still got some really juicy dirt, or as they say, compromat on the Donald. Anyway, I remember you, Gerald, starting this episode off by bragging how talented you were and about all the fan emails you were receiving back then. Basically, that you had a ton of fans, which I know is a bunch of BS.
But no, I did, and I still do.
It's all fake news.
Aunt Dorothy, could you give me a quick laugh on that remark? Any laugh will do.
Oh, sure. Gerald, regarding what you are wearing, maybe you should go with non-V-neck sweaters in the future. It's just a suggestion.
Yeah, what Dorothy said.
Right. Dave, run that first segment from the Hackers episode, if you would.
Feel free to just continue to sit on the couch right, there and just nap through the show if you want. Because I have everything covered.
I would never not put 110% into each and every show, Spud. This is not just a job to me. This is what I was put on this earth to do.
Come on, yo.
And what again is it you do?
Well, I feel I'm one of the best co-hosts on radio right now. In fact, I might just be in the top two or three.
Oh, I wasn't aware of this.
Neither was I. Is there some kind of list of co-hosts somewhere that I can verify your unconfirmed boasting?
People lie a lot, so you got to be on your toes.
Who said you're on one of those best co-hosts on the radio list things? I mean, your wife and kids? I don't think they're voting members of the Academy.
Don't. You would be surprised by some of the supportive emails I've received in the last couple of months. I've got some very committed fans.
I think I need hard copies of any alleged fan mail. I'm not taking your word for it. Well, I myself have received three or four emails of support, too. Would you like to see them? Maybe one of them was from a guy I went to high school with.
Oh,
but all
brother.
The others are productive members of society. I would put my fan mail up against yours any day of the week. Hey, let's do a word count and see who got more total words in their emails.
Okay. That won't be necessary. Listen, I'm happy for you that some listeners have recognized your efforts on this show.
Hey, I believe I've received over 200 emails from listeners so far this month. I'm not sure of the exact count, but do you want to see any of them? I can pull them up on my phone here.
No. That won't be necessary,
but,
Mrs. Terabits.
That's okay.
Well.
But there has to be some reason why I don't receive tons of fan mail.
Seriously.
You know, it's something I've been thinking about lately while I'm in bed and, you know, can't sleep. In those times, I tend to focus on why my career is going nowhere after all these years. So, like, you know, I do a deep dive looking for a reason. And at this point, I have not ruled out foul play, you know? I mean, it's a real possibility.
What are you talking about, a conspiracy or something that is preventing you from achieving success?
Yeah, I am. Think about it. There are so many guys in radio who are way more popular than me. Why? There has to be a reason, and I need to find out.
And what if you're wrong? As your aunt, I don't want to see you getting your hopes up that there's some sinister force that has brought about your dead-end career in radio. Really, everybody can't be a star.
Well, you know what? I think there's a real possibility I could be the victim of one of those Russian hackers.
Russia, if you're listening.
Think about it. They're really good at manipulating all sorts of stuff in this country. Not just our elections, but they have their hands on everything. Why not sabotaging, like, a certain person in the radio business, too? Because they can, that's why.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Spud, I hope you don't believe that bogus story about those evil Russian hackers working to elect Donald Trump.
It's all fake news.
You know, the man won fair and square. You, really? You need to accept the truth, and I seriously doubt anyone would get involved in tampering with your career, Spud. You know, from what I've read, other countries' intelligence agencies, besides Russia, are more focused on creating total havoc across our society.
I am part of society, if you're not aware. The more I think about this, I'm pretty positive there's foul play involved here. And I know Russia isn't, they're behind it. I know this. But right now, we can discuss this further because I have...
Like I said on that episode, Spud, I never bought into that sabotage deal by the Ruskies back then, and definitely not now. You are 100% responsible for not being well-liked by our listeners.
You don't know that for sure, Aunt Dorothy. It's still an open investigation.
Who's leading the investigation?
Well, I have Googled the Russian GRU and FSB chants if you're skeptical. You know, that was how I started this thing, to dig into it. You know, their security agencies, and they're pretty, how do I want to say this, aggressive. And though I haven't gotten any firm evidence that they've targeted me, I haven't found any evidence that they haven't.
Listen, Spud, Russia is our friend. What? They love Donald Trump, and any country that loves our president, I fully support.
Yeah, and Ukraine was responsible for the Kansas City Chiefs not getting a three-peat in the Super Bowl this year. And I'm sure Barack Obama and Joe Biden had a hand in it, too.
Well, I don't blame Ukraine for the Chiefs losing the Super Bowl, as upsetting as it was for me. But there is a slight chance that Obama may have had an influence on the outcome somehow. I mean, it's within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, Facts and Friends starts right now.
I know I'm the youngest person on this podcast, but can someone explain to me how Trump was able to make his followers buy into his rebrand of Russia? He makes them out to be good guys.
Oh, Chance, it would take me so long to explain how this has happened to a major political party in this country. Let's hope that they return to some level of sanity very soon.
Yeah.
Right? Or pretty soon RFK Jr. will be told to, like, include vodka as one of the 7 daily food groups we need to consume. Let's move on to my interview with actress-comedian Jane Lynch, okay? She's really, really, really talented and has been in a ton of highly acclaimed projects, like, you know, 3 of the best Christopher Guest movies, like I said earlier, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, and For Your Consideration. You know, we talk about those and how Sir Christopher makes them, which is a fascinating process. And of course, she was the co-star on the TV series Glee, for which she won an Emmy. This was the second time, you know, she came on our show, and I believe she was out touring the country then as a singer. Yeah, she's a singer. Anyway, Dave, run the segment.
Spud,
yeah.
Your first guest, Jane Lynch, is waiting to speak with you. And she was on the show before a couple of years ago, and I do remember that Glee show she was on.
Cool. I love Jane. It's amazing, though, you're actually aware of a guest and their career.
Well, I didn't say we watched Glee. Our family felt it was way too liberal in its message. You know, Spud, they often discussed homosexual relations on that show.
What's with you, Joe, huh?
Yeah, and if you dug real deep into the Holcomb family tree, your family tree, you'd find a heck of a lot of like, probably gay and transgender people on the branches. You just need to look carefully.
I'm not aware of any of those people on my family tree, Spud.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Like I said, I think you need to look a bit more carefully, and you'd be surprised. But anyway, put Jane through, please.
Oh, here she is.
Welcome back to the show, actress, singer, comedian, Ms. Jane Lynch. Thanks a bunch for checking in with us.
Oh, my pleasure. I can't wait to see you all.
Yeah, well, let's touch on your film career for a moment. You worked with the comic genius Sir Christopher Guest on Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, For Your Consideration, and Mascots. So you worked with him before and after he was knighted. So did you notice much difference in him? Like, did he demand to be called Sir on the set afterwards?
I think subtly he was trying to push us to do that, but no one fell for it. No, you'd never know that he was a Sir. He's a regular, awesome guy.
I think everybody that is a fan of those films would wonder this, because this has crossed my mind. Just how tough was it working with that talented cast in those films to keep it under control and not break character when everybody's really rolling? I bet it was difficult.
That is the least of the problems. You're not so much afraid. You know, I think the biggest worry for me, and every time I step into it, and it's something I get better and better at, is, you know, going nose to nose and toe to toe with some of the best improvisational actors on the planet, and you just hope that you're going to be able to hold up your own. So no, you're not so much worried about laughing. You're just trying to stay in the moment and you know, see what they throw at you, and you throw some stuff back. It's like keeping a balloon in the air. It's a lot of fun once you stop worrying about it.
Well, the process that he uses, that you guys, you know, do in the film, does he give you your own take? Like, if you have an idea, or how scripted is it? That's what everybody kind of wants to know.
It's not scripted at all. The dialogue isn't scripted. You know, the situation is, you know, dictated to us. You know, this has to happen in this scene, and that's about it. You know, he's got a story, a really strong story outline, and each scene has an objective, but we get to go in there and do whatever we want. Sometimes the takes are 5-10 minutes long. They go on forever and ever. So the art of this, I think this form is in the editing, and that's Christopher in a dark room with our editor for, you know, sometimes up to a year putting it together.
So you get your character, and then do you just basically sit down and make mental notes on how you're going to approach each scene?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, in fact, I do probably more, you know, biography work on the characters for the Christopher Guest films, because you are pretty much creating them out of whole cloth. You know, you have complete freedom to, you know, he gives you some given circumstances, but then you get to go from there. You do most of your work in your head at home, and I know people work differently. I actually, you know, kind of write down qualities and how I work on a voice. I work on what I want to wear, and I know some people kind of, you know, like Chris, he barely does any preparation at all. He just lets the camera roll.
Wow.
And there's no rehearsal, so you show up and you're ready to go, and he just starts rolling immediately.
Wow, all right, very cool. Well, this is kind of off topic. On this show, we're discussing those darn Russian hackers and how they seem to have figured out how to mess with us all in some fashion. If not on Facebook or Twitter, they could be anywhere. Because I personally feel they've hacked my Alexa in my living room. Every time I mention Trump as a clown, the power goes out for a little bit, just long enough to annoy. So have they messed with you at all?
No, I haven't noticed that, but that's interesting. That's very funny.
Well, stay on your toes. I'm just telling you that. So,
yeah,
all right.
I will keep an eye out for that. Ernie, you're out.
Spud,
yeah.
Why must you put such thoughts into Jane's head? As Vladimir Putin told our president, he and his country did not meddle in our election. Everyone knows there are no Russian hackers, so don't make her paranoid about this.
Hey, Jane, just a second. So I guess you and Trump are the only two living beings on Earth who actually believe that guy. How do you explain every time I start yelling at the TV screen while watching Hannity, Tucker Carlson, or Laura Ingraham, that Alexa thing I got last year for Christmas turns the power off in my apartment for a minute or so. Like I'm being warned, if I don't stop, maybe my Doritos might get poisoned.
Oh, with all the bags of Doritos you eat, Spud, you would be dead really quick.
I know. It's tough now deciding whether to open my mouth and express my opinion to the TV set or bite my tongue so I can live. But it's really hard during Hannity's show, especially.
Do you understand how difficult it would be for Russian hackers to utilize that Amazon Echo device to harass you in your home? It would be impossible.
And they said no one would ever walk on the moon or be able to bleach your teeth white while sitting at home?
Oh, Spud, that's true. Who would have figured that teeth bleaching thing at home would be so easy?
Well, just be aware that it is not appropriate to cause undue worry in others by telling outlandish tales.
I find that somewhat ironic, considering the right-wing fake media you enjoy so much. Just let me get back to Jane. All right, I'm back.
Wonderful. I was doing Julia with Meryl Streep, and it was my first day with her, and I was very nervous, and I was playing her sister. And we did a scene in a restaurant in Brooklyn. And as we were walking back to our trailers, we were walking separately. I wasn't very social with her. I just kind of allowed her to do what she was doing. And as we were walking back to our trailer, she put her arm in mine, and we walked across the street together. And that felt like affirmation, confirmation, dream come true. That was a moment. Arm in arm with Meryl Streep.
Very cool. All right. Super. We appreciate you so much for coming back on the show.
Pleasure. Take care.
All right, Miss Jane Lynch.
You know, as I mentioned back then, and I still feel the same way now, after re-listening to the interview, Spud, it's not appropriate to always mention Russia meddling in our elections and criticize our commander-in-chief, Donald Trump's relationship with them, while interviewing Hollywood celebrities. You know, by often calling him Putin's puppet or something. It puts them in a very uncomfortable situation. That's why most of your guests seem to agree with your negative opinion of the greatest president in world history.
Right.
I know that they're private in their private lives. They adore him. It's just so risky to be a Trump supporter in the entertainment industry.
These guys, they make millions of dollars. They're smart as hell.
Well, the handful of B-list celebrities who publicly state their support for that moron, you know, should understand that they have tarnished their family name for centuries to come.
I would agree with that point, Spud. If anyone in my family supported that dummy, well, they'd have to find a new location for Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm no Trump supporter, but my dad has a MAGA hat, and every time I see it around the house, I hide it somewhere. He just keeps buying new ones, so I guess I'm wasting my time. He loves the guy.
Chance, your father seems like a very wise man to me.
I don't know about him being wise. He's been unemployed for 3 years now. My mom is getting tired of him sleeping in to like 11 in the morning these days.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with sleeping in. That's one of my, you know, favorite daily habits. Okay, let's now return to our in-studio discussion of the hackers episode. I remember I tried very hard, you know, to convince everyone that those deceitful little hackers from somewhere in Russia were responsible for my dead-end career as a talk show host.
Yeah, and unsuccessfully, I would add.
Well, I will let the listeners be the jury on this, if you don't mind. Dave, run the segment, and hopefully I will convince at least some people that I am the victim here.
So getting back to what we were talking about, you, Gerald, may poo-poo the damage those Russian hackers have done in our last presidential election and to other Americans to this day, but you do so at your own peril. Or maybe just my peril, because you're not important enough for them to mess with anyway, now that I think about it.
Oh,
so just disregard that.
I don't know about that. You know, a radio show co-host position is highly respected in most parts of the world. You do know a lot of countries ban talk radio shows, so this is an important job.
Well, I know the Russian trolls would never bother with a designated laugher, but if they did, I would track them down into the gates of hell. As no way am I allowing some pimply-faced teenager in Leningrad to cause mischief in this country.
Good call, yo.
Well, think about it. Wow. How did Donald Trump win the general election? For the record, on a prehistoric technicality, that's how. That stupid 12th Amendment, a.k.a. the Electoral College, tacked on by those founding fathers. You know, just maybe it was an idea possibly from the KGB. I don't really know what they called Russian intelligence way back then. But, you know, I bet the Ruskies had a plan to cause a bunch of delays. You know, maybe they slipped in some disappearing ink and the Quills wouldn't let Madison and Hamilton write anything. So then they just got, like, really burned out and tired. It was probably late at night and everyone finally just signed off on it because the sun was coming up and then they had to like get home right away back to their plantations to make sure their slaves were out of bed, you know, to do their chores.
And it only makes common sense.
You know, Spud, there's no need to relitigate the past election. You liberals need to get over it and move on.
Never. So I'm almost positive those Russian dudes are pulling the online strings of this country. I'm positive. And right now, and they need to be put on notice that we are not just going to bend over and take it. You know what I mean?
No. No, I do not.
You know what I mean!
Oh, Spud, dear, I think I know what you're getting at here.
Well, the first step is proving a crime was committed. That's I got to work on that. And in my case, I'm saying right now, I will dedicate all of my waking hours to determine what these foreign punks are doing. They're sabotaging my career as I speak. It would explain so much. I'm going to work on this.
Okay, you're saying you will forego all of your free time activities to pursue this? Are you sure about that? I mean, you love your binge watching.
Well, I bet I can do both.
You can't!
No, I really think I can still keep up on all of my favorite shows on cable TV, Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix, while at the same time investigating who, what, when, where, and why this is happening. To me, it's a travesty. To me, it is.
Travesty's a bit dramatic, and I think the who, what, when, where, and why is the credo for newspaper journalists.
You're right, Gerald. Well, I was editor of my college newspaper, and that was what was written on the chalkboard in our workspace.
Well, whatever. I will just follow the evidence and see where it leads me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, do you know what corpus delicti means? You can't get a murder conviction without a body. So who's the victim here?
Hello, right here.
Do you
really think I would be stuck in the lowest level of the radio industry food chain without outside intervention? Foreign intervention? It's as good a reason as anything else. And where do you come up with... I got to ask you this. Where did you come up? I got to mellow out here. With that fancy legal term, corpus delicti. I mean, you were a dance major at BYU, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen most episodes of Law & Order. You can pick up a lot from that show. And, by the way, I was a business major.
Oh, well.
I plan to take an online course soon to finally finish up after all these years.
Yeah, well, just get back to me on this issue when you're a real college graduate, okay? But right now, do your job and see if our next...
You know, I don't think you moved a single person over to your side, Spud. No way anyone from Russia would waste their time sabotaging your career. They have bigger and better things to do.
I think they can do two things at the same time, man. You know, like destroy democracy around the world and also mess with me personally.
I know I wouldn't want to make anyone from that country mad at me. From what I've read, they don't play around. What floor is your apartment on, Spud? It's high enough to at least break a few bones if you get tossed out of the window.
Yeah, I don't think I mean, that has crossed my, you know, mind. I've given some thought to it because, you know, I'm four floors up. So I've been asking my apartment manager to let me move to the first floor. But, you know, nothing's available there right now. Until I can move, I was thinking maybe of putting out some air mattresses or maybe like a bouncy house right under my apartment window, just in case I should accidentally fall out.
It's going to be a thing of beauty.
Well, four floors isn't that high up. You might survive the fall, even if you miss the air mattresses. I don't think you could afford a bouncy house, Spud, anyway. They're really pricey, as most parents only rent them for birthday parties.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that one of those might be out of my price range, but it sounded like a great idea. But how much, really, when you think about it, how much is too much to maybe survive an untimely fall?
I don't think it's a good idea to get one of those bouncy houses, as kids would always be playing on it. So if you landed on them and you survived, it would not be seen as a good thing that you are still alive as you risk the lives of innocent children.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I'll just discard that bouncy house option. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Let's now check out my interview with actor John C. McGinley. I love this guy. You know, If we want to go like way back in his career, he co-starred in the iconic film, the Oliver Stone film Platoon, and also in this, man, I think it's still second most funny movie ever made, Office Space. And I'm sure everyone remembers him as Dr. Perry Cox on the very funny TV sitcom Scrubs, which, by the way, is about to go into production once again as it's being rebooted by showrunner Bill Lawrence. And get this, he's also set to co-star in the new HBO Max series with Steve Carell. Oh, man, this guy's always working. Dave, run the segment.
Okay, and Spud, I'm being told your next guest, John C. McGinley, is on the
phone. Okay, you know, I really like this guy. Great actor and a great person.
You know, I did used to watch that show he was on, Scrubs. It was pretty funny, but at times, somewhat risque.
The Masturbation Network, keeping America baiting for 300 years.
It was a network sitcom, man.
Yeah.
Though it was pretty funny, I got to say. But he has a new show on IFC that's pretty cool. It's funny, too, by the way. But, you know, John can do the serious stuff also. He's a very talented dude.
So should I put him through?
No. Let's keep him on hold for a few hours. Well, yes, put him through, for God's sakes.
Right, here he is.
Welcome back to the show, actor and author John C. McGinley. Thanks much for spending a little bit of time with us.
Thanks, bud. Seattle's one of my favorite spots on the entire planet, so it's nice to be with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a little bit off topic, but, you know, on our show right now, we've been discussing those darn Russian hackers. They don't have another election, I guess, to meddle in until the midterm, so I'm thinking they're bored out of their minds right now and are screwing with random people. Have they bothered you at all?
I haven't been hacked yet.
Okay, all right, just wanted to ask. I'm asking my guests that, so all right.
Spud?
Yeah?
Well, I can't believe you're trying to put this thought into the mind of another guest. I'm in hopes Jane Lynch is not currently experiencing anxiety after hearing your misinformation, and now you try and spread this fake news to John C. McGinley, too? Have you no decency, sir?
John, I need a moment. Not when it comes to foreign agents messing with the United States of America. Someone has to be the Paul Revere who will sound the alarm about those sneaky, you know, Putin lackeys.
Well, I know I am going to finally get one of those antivirus programs for my computer after hearing what Spud has been saying is going on in this country.
No. Spud, good Russia idea. Is our friend. I just don't understand why you're so irrational.
And about WikiLeaks is the beacon for freedom and liberty, too, right? Yeah, it's a paid-for freaking program by the KGB or FSB or whatever they're called nowadays. And who knows who they're going to hack into next? Maybe your very own computer. Do you own a computer?
Well, of course.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I'm pretty positive you do.
I think it's a Commodore Amiga 1200. It's
Amiga
got a lot
1200?
Of miles on it, but I tell you, it still runs like a top.
Oh, how's CompuServe working out for you?
Oh, I think we switched over to AOL these days. But
good.
The point I'm trying to make here is don't burden our guests with your scare tactics. It's not right.
You would have made a great scout for General Custer at Little Bighorn. Now let me get back to John. Okay, sorry about that brief interruption.
Hey, Spud.
Well, looking back at your many years on the show with Scrubs, playing Dr. Perry Cox, just how wild was it to be asked to deliver the commencement address at UC San Francisco's School of Medicine back in 2005? Did you wear Scrubs, by the way, to that address?
No, God, I had a beautiful Armani suit on.
Oh.
That was one of the great afternoons of my life. Dean Kessler, who had been in the Clinton administration, was the dean of San Francisco at that time, and he invited us up there, and my then-girlfriend and now-wife, Nicole, and I went up there, and it was really pretty exciting to be associated with young people who were just right on the doorstep of being doctors, and that was really an authentically exciting and amazing day.
Yeah, I don't know if I asked you this the last time you were on, but you know, everybody does know Perry Cox quite well. I mean, he's a cultural figure in television. Do you ever get stopped and asked for any kind of medical advice?
Yeah, I do, and I don't have any. I'm just trying to remember my lines from Standing and Steeple. I don't have any medical advice.
You never just off the top of your head, pull out of your butt, and just throw out some stuff, and that's never happened, huh?
No,
All right. Well, on a more serious topic, this is something we talked about previously when you're on. Your work with the campaign to eradicate the use of the R word in our vernacular. How's the effort going? Because it seems like there's been a bit of progress.
Yeah, it's baby steps. I mean, people are still using the N word 170 years later, so it's baby steps. And the R word is the word retard and retarded, and what the campaign with the Special Olympics is called is called Spread the Word to End the Word. And it's a viral campaign that's on the Special Olympics website. And all we're doing is trying to encourage people to maybe replace that language with compassion and maybe just sprinkle some love in their language instead of putting down a community that has never done anything to anyone and never will.
Yeah, well stated. All right. Hey, we really, really appreciate you coming back on our show.
Thanks, bud. I'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Absolutely, Mr. John C. McGinley.
As for John's work on the campaign to reduce the use of that R word, there does seem to be a certain type of person who still uses it freely. I will refer you to that, I'll refer everyone to that douchebag comedian and podcast host, Ari Shaffir, on his recent Netflix special where he demands that he and others are victims of censorship and they need to reclaim the R word for everyday use. Yeah.
Have a toast for the douchebags.
As John has a special needs son, he has an insight into how hurtful that term can be, you know, for people who already have enough barriers to overcome.
Yeah, I have zero tolerance for people who casually throw that word around. It's just wrong.
Yeah, I sometimes hear people at my community college use it, but most of the time others around them tell them to shut the F word up. I had to go with that reference because my mom started listening to this podcast and she really doesn't like it when I swear.
You know, sometimes the F word is absolutely necessary, Chance. You know, maybe she'll like understand that in the future. All right, let's move on to my interview with the musical guest on the Hackers episode. It was a band out of Olympia, Washington, Hellbelly. Dave, run it.
It's musical guest interview time, so say hello to Hellbelly. Gentlemen, state your birth name and your favorite calisthenic. I myself am a jumping jack guy, so anyway, I thought I'd throw that out.
My name is Eric. I'm not telling you my birthday, and I like Stretch Armstrong.
Oh.
I'm Brian. My birthday is February 18th. That makes me an Aquarius, and I can touch my toes.
Super.
My name is Ryan Mungia. My birthday is April 2nd, and I do jumping jacks every now and then.
All righty.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I'm Tommy. I was born in October, and I really enjoy doing a bear crawl.
Oh, those are tough. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to state for the record that you are my aunt's favorite band. Sweet. I guess the truth is out. So, and she pressured me basically to book you guys. So how did you guys get such a hold on her affections?
She was in the front row, show after show after show, and constantly giving us love.
Wow.
She can mosh with the best of them.
I had no idea. Wow. Aunt Dorothy, we're going to talk later. Well, just please don't take her on your tour bus after the show. She's got to give me a ride home.
Bogney's been trying to get her number for every show.
Yeah, right. Just remember, she packs tiger claws and mace. Just keep it. And there's me, too, you're going to have to go through. Just remember that. So I got your back, all right?
I appreciate that.
All right. So may I ask the origin of the band's name? Is there any direct or even distant connection to Satan himself? He resides in hell. I mean, there is that Belly of the Beast reference that could be about him. And as an investigative journalist, I put all the evidence together and found there could be a connection. Please respond.
No.
Okay.
None whatsoever. It's about a long night and your trip to the bathroom afterwards.
Oh. Mm. Well, thank you for correcting the record.
Yeah. The emphasis is on belly, like Hellbelly.
Okay, all right. Fine. Okay, super. So what is the overall plan for the band? Where do you guys want to be in 17 to 21 months?
Not in line for prescriptions.
Okay. All right, I'll go with that. So have all you discussed the reunion tour 20 years from now for Hellbelly?
Brian will be dead.
Okay. All right.
We discussed the fact that Eric, the lead singer, will be in the casinos with a bunch of 19-year-old musicians cashing in on our fame from 20 years ago.
Okay, super.
I'm saving the hit song for last.
It's getting very depressing. So where can people get a hold of Hellbelly Records?
Nobody can buy records anymore.
Good point. Okay, fine. What's the name of the next damn song then?
You can buy it. You can get our records online at hellbelly@oli.com. Right. And the next song is called Blithering Idiot.
Well, let's do it.
Radio show.
You know, I don't think that band liked you very much, Spud, if I remember correctly.
No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I don't agree with that. Maybe they didn't get me, but no one in the band flipped me off, you know, or anything like that. When the show was over, and they were very polite when they were offloading or actually bringing their equipment back to their van. You know, Olympia sure has a ton of fantastic bands still to this day.
Well, I like Hellbelly a lot. They rock.
Yeah, right. I know. I hear you. All right, let's move on to my last guest on this episode. It was actor and musician Ross Lynch. Most people would, you know, remember him from that Disney show he was on when he was younger, Austin and Ally. You know, when I interviewed him, he was out promoting his then new film, My Friend Dahmer, a biopic of serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer in his early years. You know, it was a very creepy movie, for sure. But not a bad way to put the child star image in the rearview mirror career-wise.
I remember that show, Austin and Ally, A lot of girls I knew back then had crushes on Ross. He was a real chick magnet. Oh, I'm sorry I used that sexist term, Dorothy. I should have said he had a lot of female admirers.
Oh, no worries, sweetie. I'm not the PC police, but your rephrasing was welcomed.
Yeah, I remember you, Gerald, going all gaga when I was about to interview him. You seem like a teenage girl, dude.
Yeah, I was a big fan of his Disney show, Austin and Ally. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I don't think I went overboard in my enthusiasm for Ross. I feel I was quite tempered.
Okay, well, let's let our listeners judge for themselves if you did or did not lose your composure a bit before we put him on the air. Dave, run the segment.
Spud, your last guest, Ross Lynch, is holding for you.
Okay, I'm not sure you're aware of Ross and his...
Oh, of course I'm aware of Ross. He was on one of my family's all-time favorite shows, Austin and Ally. Do you know it? It was on the Disney Channel.
No, well,
we never missed an episode. That was a great show. And I got to tell you, the whole family was really disappointed when it was canceled.
I don't understand.
Okay, good to know.
Well, are you going to ask him if he's still with Ally?
Dude, it was a TV show. I doubt they ever dated in real life.
Well, you don't know that. You know, they were very close, and they were a really good team. She was a great songwriter, and he was a knockout rock and roll singer.
Chill. Yeah. Just chill, please. You're creeping me out here.
Oh.
Just put Ross through.
Okay, sure. Here he is.
Please say hello to actor, musician Ross Lynch. Thanks much for coming on our show.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, you're the star of the new film, My Friend Dahmer, and it is now showing in theaters nationwide and in Seattle at the Regal Meridian 16. Now, it's about the high school years of the late serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, correct?
It is. It's all from the perspective of someone who actually went to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer. So this movie is about all the events that took place in the years of his life before he ever killed his first victim. And it's really quite an interesting story, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie about, you know, a serial killer as a young man. And it's a really interesting film.
Well, let's begin with a quote from Dahmer himself. I had read this. When I was a kid, I was just like anybody else. So was your take on the role is that he was no different than any other kids growing up in the late 70s?
You know, based on my experience with the story of Jeffrey Dahmer and what I've been told, he definitely had his his things that set him apart from normal people. You know, I don't know many people who have a shack of dissected animals in their backyard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear that.
But Jeffrey Dahmer does refer to high school as some of the best years of his life. Actually, the happiest time of his life, which is, I thought was interesting.
Really? Well, I understand you guys shot scenes in the actual Dahmer house that he grew up in. How was that experience?
We did. It was actually interesting because I'm playing a young Jeffrey Dahmer. My mindset was, this is just my house for the time being kind of thing. But to a lot of the crew, it was very, very, very eerie. And for me as well, in certain scenarios, if we were doing a certain scene that was a little more creepy or, you know, it was nighttime or things like that, then I would feel the eeriness of the house. But overall, it was actually a beautiful house, and the Akron, Ohio scenery is very lush and beautiful.
It's
kind of interesting.
I was curious, do the current occupants have to deal with, like, out-of-town people who make it a must-see on driving through that northeastern Ohio town?
No, I don't. I actually don't think that's a thing. I don't know if, like, people would show up to that house all the time. I don't know if people know where it is.
Okay. All right. Now, I don't really... Yeah, I don't think I'll be asking you the specific quadrants or whatever. So, all right.
say, Spud.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the house I grew up in has garnered a bit of notoriety over the years.
Hey, Ross, just a second. What house?
The house I grew up in. I've been told by the new owners that a number of people have driven by, and some people have actually stopped to ask if this is really the house that Gerald Holcomb grew up in.
No freaking way. Who the hell cares about the house you grew up in?
Well,
hey, I have pretty darn good serial killer radar, and no way you are one.
Well, no. I was just a very well-respected kid growing up in the neighborhood. I was once written up in the local paper. I was voted the top paper boy in town. People loved the way how I always delivered their paper, no matter what the weather was like.
I think the new owners of your family's house must be meth addicts or something, and well, had conversations with imaginary Gerald Holcomb fans. It never happened.
Well, I know for sure an old buddy did stop by and visited with them, so you're wrong, Spud.
So did you ever try and dissect a squirrel or a mole growing up?
Me? Oh, of course not. I love all animals.
See, I told you, he's no serial killer.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I knew that. But hey, let me get back to Ross. Okay, sorry about that, but I'm back.
Awesome.
Well, Ross, you previously were the star of the Disney TV show Austin and Ally for 4 seasons. It was very popular. So would it be accurate to say you've had to deal with a considerable amount of attention from very young females around the clock for years?
I like how you say how to deal with. I've been very fortunate to have, you know, a career where I could, you know, be able to tour the world, and obviously Austin Alley is a great reason why I can do that, and I'm just really fortunate to be in the situation, and I like being able to, you know, play music for all these people.
Yeah, well, did it ever become so annoying that you maybe wished you weren't so darn good-looking? Because, I mean, it's a first-world problem, but still, it's a cross to bear. Never crossed your mind that you wish you weren't so good-looking?
I don't necessarily look in the mirror and think that I'm extraordinary-looking anyway.
All right. I had to hit you with that, but okay. Well, you're actually in the second most-watched cable movie of all time, Teen Beach Movie.
Yes.
What was that one about?
Yep. That one is about essentially these two teenagers that sort of get transported into this movie, and it's a musical, and they kind of go through this whole adventure on how to save the movie, put it back on track, and then also get themselves home before they fade away. That was a fun experience, though. That was about, I want to say, 4 years ago or something like that. It was a long time ago, it feels like.
I'm thinking it's still being
really
watched.
Sorry?
It's still being watched, from what I read. It's you were in a very, very popular movie. So I guess it's just kind of a theme here. You're doing quite well in your career. I'm gonna segue into your music career now. You're in the band R5, and you tour the world. So that part's going pretty good, because you only have 3.5 million likes on Facebook. So you know, maybe you'll be able to get the word out on your music. But how's that part going?
It's going really well, man. We got a new single coming out in January, and I think the label's really, really pumped about it, which I'm excited about. But we've been touring all over the world. I just did 6 weeks in the States. I did 6 weeks in Europe. This next week, I'm going off to South America and then off to Japan. And it's really fun for me, man, to be able to travel the world with people that I love and play music. It's a dream scenario come true.
Not a bad life you lead, you know. I got to say that, Ross.
I work hard for it too, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not denying that. Okay. Well, let me close with this one. All right. Prepare yourself, Ross Lynch. Okay. What are your long-term career goals?
Oh man, it's hard to say. Especially recently, I've really just trying to be like in the moment right now. You know, try to be present as much as possible. So I've kind of accepted the reality that, you know, whatever I predict is, you know, slim odds probably. So I want to just really be in the moment right now, and I want to really work as hard as I can and do what I love and whatever feels right in the moment. And I guess we'll see where that takes me.
All right. That'll work. Okay, well, thank you so much for checking in with us.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
There you have it, Mr. Ross Lynch.
You know, I must say, to this day, I'm still a bit befuddled as to why Ross wanted to play a serial killer on the big screen. Jeffrey Dahmer was not a positive role model.
Oh, no.
I know for a fact that the Disney Channel would never air a movie like that.
Yeah, you are correct on that one.
Oh, I get it. Ross felt he needed to change the stereotype of the former Disney show cast members and do something out of the box. I saw the movie, and I think he pulled it off.
I didn't watch that movie. Scary movies make me feel uncomfortable.
Yes, yes. I don't think you would have enjoyed it, sweetie.
After we get married, Dorothy, I don't want to make you feel you can't watch scary movies anymore. You know, when I move in, I'd be willing to leave the room and maybe go down to your basement and play video games when you watch one. I don't think I could hear the sound from the TV upstairs, so it would be okay.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Oh, I think we can work out some kind of an arrangement, dear.
Yeah, you guys can deal with that when we're not recording a freaking podcast episode.
Sorry.
I think we're now supposed to go to the final in-studio segment where we finished up our discussion regarding those darn Rusky hackers. Dave, run it.
So a true crime fighter would go to the scene of the actual crime, and with these communist hackers, that would be Facebook. I know they used other social media too, but Facebook was and is the prime tool that they used to screw with America. And I'm saying it's about to stop.
Spud, what makes you think you can break open this case as, you know, the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security? Well, actually, there are 17 intelligence agencies now working on this hacking investigation.
Yeah, yeah, and they've come up with one big fat nothing burger.
Whatever, and Dorothy, because it's personal with me. Have any of those agents working on this case had their own career impacted by these evil troublemakers? I think not. Haven't you seen all those movies on TV where whenever someone is personally violated, you know, their kid or their wife gets kidnapped or something, they get pissed off and jump in to save the day like a badass?
I'm getting powers!
That's me right now!
No, no. This is not a movie, Spud. You watch way too much TV. You know, my gosh, Donald Trump offered up a very logical theory that the person behind all of this could very well be some 600-pound guy on a couch somewhere in this country.
Yeah, yeah. I think Trump said 400-pound guy.
That was called still deflecting? Uh-huh. Or as I was taught as a kid, lying?
Get him out of here!
So let's
right
take,
away.
Let's just take a look at the possible damage a band of Russian tech geeks could have done to our own Facebook page. I mean, there has to be a reason why we only have like 4,679 people liking our page. Clearly, foul play is at hand. I look at some of the other shows' Facebook pages, and they have like 50,000 or 100,000 likes. Don't you see something's
what?
Fishy here?
What?
It's no, obvious.
No, why, Spud? Why would a Russian agent waste his time trying to limit your likes on this show's Facebook page? That is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Are you making fun of me now?
I'm funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
Are you making fun of me?
No, and I'm not trying to.
And that's kind of a sexist thing to say.
Why?
Why couldn't it be a female agent trying to ruin my career? Let's not get into this gender stereotyping, you know? But the motivation is clear. I have ripped Trump since the day he came down that escalator when he announced he was running. You know, I read that they have been trying to discredit anyone who is not a Trump puppet.
You do know, right now, you might be offending a large number of Russian listeners in America who are quite tired of hearing about how their former country rigged our last election.
Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that.
We're not in the position to be losing listeners. Any listeners.
I have total faith in American Russians, okay? They would never mess with me or this country. We have so much more to offer here, like Dancing with the Stars and Jack in the Box. Yes, though, I have seen that show, The Americans, where, you know, someone's next door neighbor who seems totally American could in fact be a Russian spy. But how many of them really exist? You know, maybe a few hundred in over 323 million people? Big freaking deal. I worry about those, you know, still on a keyboard in that country.
Okay, okay. I had a neighbor once who I thought was maybe a spy. He was from Canada, and I had no proof, but he just seemed like a spy to me.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
Oh, hang on. Right now? Oh, I think I can. Okay. Spud, I'm being told we have a caller on the line, and I believe he's Russian, or at the very least, he speaks Russian. Chance, our industrious intern, has given me his phone, and it has an app that translates.
Really?
This is cool. It translates foreign languages into English. Do you want me to give it a try?
Yeah, I guess. Hey, Chance, now that you loaned your phone to him, how are you going to play video games for the rest of the show? yeah, put the call through.
Here, got it working.
Hey, call, are you there?
Yes, this is Dmitry, and I have been listening to this program. Is this real radio show?
Okay, just a moment. Okay, Spud, his name is Dmitry, and he wants to know if this is a real radio show.
Dude. He speaks English. I can understand him, sort of. I mean, yes, it is a real radio show. And why are you trying to mess with my career?
Oh, brother.
You know, I'm glad he does speak English because Chance's app is really terrible, actually.
Anyway, so dude, why are you guys trying to screw with everything in this country? I can handle you hacking our election and trying to cause a civil war in this country, but when you start messing with our social media, well, I draw the line at Facebook, man.
Well, if it is war they want, then war they shall have!
Listen, why do you Americans continue to blame your problems on people from other countries? The Russians didn't elect Donald Trump. Your citizens did.
Oh, he has a point, Spud. Huh. We have no one to blame for that but ourselves. We are that stupid.
Wait a minute. I do not consider myself stupid or ill-informed.
I love the poorly educated.
And I'll say this. I'm proud of my vote for our president.
Well, really?
Though this man here who is with you there, he sounds like a dotard. He at least knows Russia is not responsible for all your many problems. The next thing is you will be blaming our motherland for those football players kneeling or Harvey Weinstein.
Look. Wow. I know you aren't guilty of causing all of our social ills, but can you promise to stop destroying my career? That's what I'm concerned with. Or at least cease and desist in deleting the likes on our show's Facebook page, man. I don't care what you do on my personal page. That doesn't really matter to me. But it's embarrassing to have such a tiny little number of likes for the show, because in show business, size is everything on social media, you know?
These guys, they make millions of dollars. They're smart as hell.
Yeah, I am fairly certain no outside party or country is trying to harm your career, Spud. There are much bigger targets out there. Okay, I have to go now, but please stop the hating on Russia. We are cool people. Goodbye.
Yeah, do svidaniya. No, he's kind of sounding like a nice guy, but I just don't trust him. I mean, I just don't. You know, all right, I'm being told I have to close the show now.
Wait. I'm going to try to find Dmitry on Facebook and send him a friend request to see if he's an actual person or is he really a bot?
You know, if I was on Facebook, I would too. The Russians are our ally now, Spud.
These guys, they make millions of dollars. They're smart as hell.
You need to change and adapt with the times.
Hashtag P-tape. Coming soon to a cable news channel not named Fox. I am Spud.
Okay, so I was wrong about that P-tape being exposed for everyone to see. I mean, I know it's still out there somewhere, but Vladimir has done a good job of keeping it under lock and key so far.
No, that's nonsense. Donald Trump did not pee on any tape, VHS or cassette.
No, he was peed on by Russian hookers. That's the story.
Yeah, whatever.
I have mentioned that I occasionally do watch naughty movies on cable TV, mostly the Showtime channel later at night when my parents go to bed, but I've never seen anything in them where peeing is going on. That's just plain weird. Dorothy, after our wedding and I move in, you don't have to sign up for Showtime as I've already seen all the softcore movies they offer. They don't seem to update their selections.
Oh, no worries. If you want me to get Showtime, I will. I remember well my old live-in boyfriend years ago that made me sign up for Cinemax. It was well worth the cost to keep him occupied at night, though.
The Masturbation Network, keeping America baiting for 300 years.
So wrapping up this topic of those darn Russian hackers that are still out there, by the way, causing all sorts of havoc. I mean, like I said back then, and it still holds true today, there has to be a reason that no one likes our show on social media. guess that's what the thing boils down to. There's got to be a real reason, you know, even besides maybe the hacking situation. Even if we totally sucked, and nowadays there are so many damn podcasts out there, and a lot of them suck more than we do, you know, and they have hundreds of thousands of followers and likes. It's just not fair, for, you know, where we're at, and responsibility has to land somewhere. I got to figure out who I can blame.
Yeah, Spud, I sincerely doubt that caller, who I guess sounded like he was sort of Russian, was real. I think it was some guy playing with you. Real spies don't call in to radio shows.
You ain't got the answers.
He's got a point there, Spud. I think that guy was punking you.
You guys don't know that. I mean, that caller could have been real. I mean, it's at least possible.
Well, I regret now that I never did send that guy a friend request, you know, to see if he was legit. I guess we'll never know.
But the point is, we all have to stay on our toes, okay? Be constantly vigilant, looking over our shoulders to make sure Russia is not messing with us. You know, they love to mess with everyone in countries where people don't do what they're told. And Americans really, really don't like to do what they're told. I kind of represent that position, actually. And that may explain why they've targeted me over the years.
Yeah, you're now sounding totally delusional, Spud. I'm getting a bit concerned.
Hey, I will let history judge me, okay? History is a lot smarter than you and your fellow MAGA heads.
Get them out of here! Right away!
Okay, on that note, I am Spud Goodman. Be all you can be, and I mean that. God bless and ciao.
Bye-bye!
The Spud Goodman Show is produced by David Brenneman of Rosedale Audio Productions and recorded at NWCZ Radio. Engineer Mike Renville. Executive producer Lori Madsen. Written and directed by Spud Goodman. Associate producer and video director TJ Pike. Production assistants Brian Martin and Frank Nolasco. Original music by Mike Spots and Tom Harmon. On-air talent Rob McGee, David Deere, Pam McGee, and Tom Nolan. Copyright 2017 Spud Goodman Productions. David Brenneman speaking. Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show podcast, copyright 2025, Spud Goodman Productions.